With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and Brad Bennett, a man who continues to refer to himself as the bad boy of tech. He's across the internet from me. He looks like a bunch of pixels on my screen right now. There's like some kind of buffering bitrate issue with Zencastr, but he's here. He's at an undisclosed location inside a video game. How are you doing, Brad? Brad's mic is unplugged because he moved it right before we started.
And damn it. Oh, no, it's back.
He's back. Here it is. He's here.
I hit the mute switch because I was searching something on the keyboard. I was trying to be quiet. But I'm here. I'm alive. Apparently, I'm pixelated. Hopefully, when you guys see this on YouTube, it's not as pixelated, but we'll see. Happy to be here. Happy to talk about foldable phones.
We also have Dean Daly with us on the show today. He's covering all the Samsung stuff. If you go on Mobile Syrup's homepage, it's like deansyrup.com right now. So he'll be talking about all that with us. How are you doing, Dean?
I'm good. I'm talking to a Patrick and a pixelated person, so it's good. It's great life.
He looks like he's like in a NES game or something.
Oh, 100%. That's exactly what he looks like. He is NES.
NES is my favorite Smash Bros. Character, and yeah. And part of it was because people always call me a little boy. Spiritually connected.
Great. I like it.
It's the youth.
So last week we talked about leaks leading up to Unpacked, Samsung's August Unpacked event. This week, all of the devices have been revealed. We have tons of stuff to go over. There's the Galaxy Buds 2. There's the Galaxy Z Flip 3. There's the Galaxy Z Fold 3. I practiced before this podcast the names of those phones, so I'm hoping
you're doing
to get
really
right
good
at least 75% of the time. Thank you. I appreciate that. But as always, before we get into the Samsung news, we're also going to talk about Pixel stuff. But before we do that, let's get into the hottest news of the week.
Okay, so the first thing coming up on the hottest news of the week is there was this HP, essentially, so I guess I'll just preface this by saying a Chromebook, when it is not in a laptop form factor or a tablet form factor, is called either a Chromebox or a Chromebase. So a Chromebox is like the desktop tower equivalent. Usually they're about the size of like a Raspberry Pi. And a Chromebase is an all-in-one PC. Yesterday, HP revealed this new Chromebase all-in-one PC. But the like hook of it, the gimmick of it, is that the screen goes from like a regular computer landscape mode to portrait. Which I just thought was hilarious. I don't know. Am I out of touch? Like, do you think people want screens that pivot so that you can use, I guess, apps like in the world in like 21 inches? Just 21 inches of your favorite app.
I'm honestly still confused about this Chrome gate and Chrome bait stuff, but I mean, it sounds like something people might want, maybe.
No, a Chrome base is an all-in-one PC that runs Chrome. A Chrome box is a tower of a PC, although they're really small usually, like a little box that just runs Chrome OS, and then a Chromebook being the Chrome OS devices that we know.
I have never heard of these terms. And
they're
wait,
super
so
rare.
Then, so, yeah. And then now you're saying that there's a display with a Chromebox?
It's like an iMac.
It's an all-in-one PC, yeah.
Oh,
it's like an iMac runs Chrome that runs OS. Chrome.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay,
to
cool.
To me,
cool.
It's weird because Chrome, like, I don't know, when I think of Chrome OS, I think of like education, right? And typically you associate like laptops with education devices. So to me, it's like, I didn't even know that they sold like devices that ran Chrome OS that were desktop. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah, I kind of assume this is for like the affluent middle class family that maybe has a bunch of laptops already, but like wants some sort of like communal device to maybe put in their kitchen. You know how people used to have those little office nooks in their kitchen, like like a phone there so they can like sit down and take notes and all that jazz. Like maybe this would go there.
Just buy a laptop.
My Chrome OS knowledge is a bit like low, but it can run Android apps, right? Can't it?
Yeah, exactly. That's sort of the twist of this, is because it legitimately twists to go into a giant 21-inch portrait mode screen.
Yeah, it's a phone. It's a huge phone. That's how it looks, actually. Yeah, 100% it is. More like iPhone stories.
Yeah, it's
actually not a bad idea. It's really
like recipe apps, so you can see them from far away.
Yeah, is it touchscreen, Bennett?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. This makes a lot of sense.
Swipe through a giant TikTok.
Giant TikTok. 21 inches of TikTok. The only way you're TikToking bigger than this would be to like obviously attach a phone to a bigger screen or buy the Samsung Cero TV, which I don't know if you guys remember from
CES 2020. Yeah, I actually saw it at Best Buy recently.
Yeah. My friend was telling me about them the other day, but I was like, they sell those here now? What? Are people buying them? And apparently a little bit of people are.
But if that's the case, it's not a bad idea, and I'm okay with this
Chrome bait is an interesting name for a product.
Chrome bait, maybe this is, because it's kind of clickbaity with this whole twisting thing getting us in. But anyway, looks really cool. We're not gonna talk about it that much, but I don't know, it's weird. I guess the question I'll leave you guys with is, do you think in the future this will be a feature that will come to like more computers, you know, 5 years from now, iMacs, iPhone PCs will twist so you can run Apple iPhone apps in portrait mode on them?
I hope so. This is a great idea.
All right.
Especially for the teens. The teens should love this, and I'm a teen at heart sometimes. So
wow.
Yeah.
I think it's a gimmick. Nope.
All right, moving on. The next one, this is actually a story you wrote, Dean, so maybe you can talk a little bit about this, but Eastlink is doing rollover data, which is something we haven't seen for a long time, or if ever. I don't know if there was ever rollover data in Canada in the past. I know rollover minutes is like a big thing, or used to be, and then kind of went away. Do you think that maybe this is like the resurgence of that on, of course, like the data side, which is obviously what people want nowadays?
Not at all, because the big three and Freedom all have, and Videotron all basically have unlimited data, right? So why would you need to rollover data if your data is limited? Videotron does this thing where if you buy a big enough plan, you'll get 100 gigabytes. Yeah, 100 gig bucket that if you ever go over your data, you do have that. And then Bell, Telus, Rogers, Freedom all have unlimited data. Of course, it gets
throttled after
20 or 30 gigs.
Or whatever your plan is, yeah.
But I mean, most people don't get to pass that. All my friends who have unlimited those plans, they're never ever reached their max. And if they have, they don't notice. So no, I don't think it's a thing that will happen. Maybe like the smaller brands might do it. Like maybe you will see like Lucky and whatever the other public mobile do stuff like.
You don't,
public
still not bigger. Even like a Fido, not even like a Fido Kudu Virgin. Maybe.
I'd like to
see it with them, to be honest.
I would. Kudu, yeah. I think that would be a good idea. I feel like those brands still have too much pride, kind of, because they're still like so close to the major brands, and then a lot of their big thing is if you want more data, switch over with Telus or switch over, and like they do those like crossover promotions they often have. So I don't think it will be. I don't think it's gonna be like a big thing, rollover data, but I think it's a cool idea.
I can see some carriers offering it, like some carriers, but like specific plans, like lower tier plans. It's a big thing in the US, rollover data, at least to my understanding. Yeah. We've never really seen it here very often.
If you saw my mom plan minutes. That was like four or five gigs with rollover data, I think she'd be like psyched, and she'd probably be rolling over like 2 gigs a month.
That's true.
But yeah, rollover data. Okay. After hearing your perspective, I'm like a little less sold on it, Dean. But when I first thought, I was like hyped. I was like, oh my God, we're going to do it. Rollover data. So whatever. The next thing is the Galaxy Z Slide, which I'm assuming you wrote about as well, just from the headline of it. But
wait, why? What is
you read about all the Galaxy leaks?
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah.
You didn't write.
I'm like, I did write it. But I'm like, was my headline like kind of weird or not? But it wasn't weird, I guess. No, but anyways, I did write about it. It was a patent founded by Let's Go Digital, that like Netherlands place. Company that works from Netherlands. Yeah, thank you. And it's like a slide phone. Like it slides out. I think it slide out. Yeah, it slide out to become like more like a tablet. And it had a name, and it had like the tech. It tried to explain how it would work exactly, and it was the patent was published by the WIPO, like the World's Intellectual Property Office. And it can come out. I mean, who knows if it ever will, but it's possible.
We see patents like this all the time, though, right? Like, and they don't always turn into a phone. It was just, for me, it was just interesting because we haven't seen one like that before from Samsung. Sometimes patents tell a story, right? Like, you'll see something related to a hinge, then a display, then the actual phone itself. This was just, like, everything kind of in front of you. So, I don't know if it'll ever come out, but... Yeah,
I don't know if it'll ever come out either.
When I was looking at this story, like the way that they seem to be implementing this like slide mechanic just seems like a less appealing version of a fold, I guess. Like ideally it's thinner overall because you don't have that folding mechanic. But what like shook me was like, how do you fill in the space once it slides out? So like the renders sort of look like a normal phone with a screen on one side and then a screen on the other. And then when it slid out, the screen on the back would be like slide around to the front, and it's just like, how, what are we holding on the back then? Like, where are your hands? There's like an empty space, you know. That's kind of where like I was worried about, if that makes sense to anyone, because like the screen would be on the back and then it like disappears to go to the front.
Anyway, I prefer that folding phone.
Yeah
I don't know. I want to see it first before I want to see sliding phones. I mean, like LG was supposed to come out with one, but they died. TCL is supposed to come out with one, but I mean, they're taking their time. So I mean, I can see Samsung doing it first next year.
That would be crazy, actually. If all the like when the foldables were all popping off like a year ago or 2 years ago, whenever the first like fold came out and we saw the HTC or not the HTC, the Huawei like Fold X or whatever it was called. And we're seeing like all these different like hinges and fold designs and all like the rollable ones. And then it'd be crazy if Samsung just like kept taking the crown with the first to market every time. But yeah, and then the last thing on hottest news of the week is just more Quibi shows are coming to the Roku channel. So if you have the Roku channel and you're looking for something to watch on TV, there are more Quibi shows coming. I believe there are 16 of them, including a few that have never been seen before. They never even made it to Quibi.
Are they all exclusively Quibi shows?
I believe.
Yeah, it's all Quibi content.
Yeah.
Okay. I think they said there's 23 shows, but I didn't know that all of them were Quibi. I got an email about it, yeah.
Do you have a Roku? Have you watched any of them?
No, I don't.
Is the show about the dude that just rolls like fancy spliffs for famous people, is that available on Roku?
Yeah, that was actually on the first wave, and I saw a few episodes of that. Oh, nice. That was funny. Alex and I watched the Anna Kendrick one where she's like becoming friends with Dan Harmon's sex doll.
Yeah, I saw like two episodes of it when Quibi existed.
Super, super weird ending. Just like ends really randomly. But yeah, I don't know. One of the shows Alex and I watched the other day, it's a cooking show where they explode food and then the people have to go blindfolded into the food is exploded onto them, covered in like just a mess of exploded food.
Okay.
And then they need to guess by like eating the exploded food with a blindfold and like touching it, what it is, and then go cook it. And that's quite a show. That's something. It is nuts. It's really, really off-putting.
Sounds like a Netflix reality show.
It is, but it happens like so fast because like the whole thing with Quibi was like what, like 5-10 minutes per episode?
Yeah.
Even less sometimes. So yeah, you like watch someone get exploded with food, like lick it up and maybe tomato, and then like cook something and then it's over like that, which is a little weird to be honest. Maybe on my phone I would like it, but what I'm starting to realize as well, some of the Quibi shows that like will have short episodes but continue to carry like a longer story throughout an entire like season, I'm enjoying, But then the ones like this, where it's like a reality show or something, where it's like just a whole bunch of really small episodes that aren't really related, or like aren't carrying a story forward, I guess, I'm having like a harder time getting into. Because it's like, it feels like you're watching just like half of an episode or like a trailer for like a Netflix show.
I know what you mean.
It's a bit odd, yeah. Either way, though, I'm coming around to the Roku channel. Like, the more times that I find myself within it, the more times I'm like, I should be in here more. There's like lots of good stuff, and I don't really mind the ads. So that's all I have to say about that. Should we talk about folding phones, or you want to talk about like not folding phones?
No, we'll talk about folding phones. So I'll set the stage really quickly, and then I'll throw it off to Dean, who's actually used these devices. So the first phone we're going to talk about is the Z Fold 3, the successor to the Z Fold 2. There's a few things that, like, based on Dean's hands-on, that I kind of picked out that I thought were interesting about this device. But I think one of the interesting things that I always find with these phone releases, particularly with Samsung devices, is how close the actual device itself is to the leaks that we like have been reporting on for a year at this point. Dean, what is, like, are the leaks correct with the Z Fold 3? Like, are they accurate? Like, as far as I could tell, they were.
Sorry, one second.
Oh, this might be it.
What is it? Who knows?
I wonder peek inside and see if there's an embargo. Peek inside. No, look inside the bag, Dean. Check and see if there's any like embargoes or anything.
No embargoes. I just got a text from Samsung. Wow. There are zero embargoes.
Then rip open that bag and let's see all this right, bad
so
boy.
We are actually switching it from Patch's question. We're going straight to something else.
If you're not watching this podcast on video, you have missed out on Dean getting a brown paper bag. Came in the door behind him. Someone said, "Woo!" Now he's opening it. There's a small black box with a Z on the front.
I wonder what it is.
Zoodles. Oh my, ooh, wow, that was right a fast there. Unboxing. There's the phone.
Holy fold
it. Yeah, it was just this is it was flip, just phone right? And box. Yeah, this is the flip.
Did it come with a charger, headphones, any of that stuff?
All right, let's look for that stuff. You're right. Yeah. So I had opened the box, all right, and then here is a SIM key.
Oh, great. Okay.
The phone was in the box laying flat. Was that correct?
Yeah, like laying flat. Like
interesting. That seems like the less effective way to package it. That's how
the other one was packaged, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. And then it came with a cord, USB-C to USB-A. Oh, it dropped.
Oh, C to A, eh?
C to A.
Power brick. Do we got a power brick in there?
Yeah. I don't see a power brick so far.
Nah, it's not in there.
And zero power bricks.
Wow, you heard it here first, folks.
You got to take some pictures of it today for Instagram.
I will, just because before industry. I destroy it.
What color did you get? Was it a black one? Well, oh,
this is the white one. Yeah, it's not. I actually specifically show asked the folding. For a different color.
Let's hear that snap.
Ooh. Ooh.
All right.
Yeah, it definitely feels kind of cheaper than last year's model. But I mean,
whatever. I saw that in your hands-on, and I was, like, disappointed because I was so excited because, like, I could get this phone. This is like a price point that regular people could afford. But then you're saying it doesn't feel as premium as last year's. And last year's did feel, or whatever the other one came out, it did feel quite premium. I remember like using it briefly and it was really nice.
I think the reason why it feels less premium is because the way premium has shifted over the past 2 years, where your premium phones kind of feel matte now. Like your Z Fold
phones.
3, yeah, the S21, even the Z Fold, like the last Z Flip. I think Apple's phones are kind of not matte, but they're matte. Yeah, even the Pixel 5, which was not a premium phone at all, was matte, right? So to have a phone that's not matte anymore and that you can get like glossy is kind of like pretty weird and feels a little less premium. And also the sides are kind of like they're not actually thicker, but they kind of feel thicker. I don't know.
What the buzzword they had for it was. It's like some kind of stainless steel edge.
Yeah, they call it armor aluminum. And it's supposed to help it keep protected and strong and help with the folding mechanisms and all that stuff. but it kind of it makes it feel a little bit bulkier and heavier. I mean, it's not, but it kind of feels.
It feels like it is.
Yeah, which is why it kind of feels cheaper. But again, the phone is $1,259 or something, or $1,260. So
rock bottom prices.
Yeah, it's well, like it's not the cheapest phone on the market, but it's cheaper than an iPhone Pro Max and an iPhone or iPhone 12 Pro Max and an S21 Ultra.
It's like yeah. What Bennett said. I would describe it as like a price that somebody would actually pay for a phone. That's not like a phone enthusiast. Like I know exactly. we've totally changed. I guess the format that we're gonna do for the show thanks to this awesome surprise. But with the Z Flip 3, like you've kind of set the stage. Is there anything else new about the phone that listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, there's this new screen here. It's one point, yeah, it's 1.9 inches compared to last year's 1.1 inches, 1.1 inch. And you can't,
it couldn't actually have been an inch last year, really?
1.1.
It's so tiny. It's like a fingernail.
And this was, so you can actually do stuff with it. You can actually take selfies with it. You can see your, you can actually read. I think they said 5 lines of text now with it. Whereas before it was like 2 lines, if that. The last one you could take selfies with as well, but you would only see half your face, which is like, what's the point of that? Weather apps, you can actually use Samsung Pay with it. I don't use Samsung Pay at all, ever. I immediately delete it and use Google Pay, but you can use Samsung Pay with it, which is pretty cool.
Super cool.
Other than that, this main display has a 120 hertz screen, which I thought was really missing from the Z Flip 5G, like last year's model.
At this price point, people will be happy to have that.
Exactly. And it has a Snapdragon 888 processor, which is the newest one available on phones. Like, I mean, Qualcomm announced the 888 Plus, but it's not out on any phones yet, I don't think. So
maybe more than fast enough, though. I mean, like top of the line flagship processors for the last 2 or
100%.
Just snappy, snappy, snappy.
And I think last year the Z Flip had like the 865, which was already old by then, I think.
Yeah, the Plus was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like the 865 Plus, or isn't that what the upgraded version of it was called?
Yeah, no, it had an 860.
No, because last year the flagship would have been the 700 series, so the 65 I think would have been like the remake with some newer features of the flagship from the year before that.
No, 865 is the newest one. I'm an idiot. Yeah, that's my bad. Because it also the Fold 2 also had an 865. So and they had the Fold 2 had the newest one at the time. So I was wrong about that. But either way, it's cool that it has like the highest processor. It's cool that it comes with a 120 hertz screen. It has a dual camera, 12 megapixel each. No telephoto that you can expect on an 21 Ultra, but the 21 Ultra is like now. Yeah, it does have waterproofing. I always forget about that. IPX8. Yeah, exactly. IPX8.
Which is huge. Like, that was one of the compromises you made with a foldable phone for the last 2 iterations. Like, that's, I don't know, like, you can't understate how big that is. Like, if you get water on it, it's totally fine. Whereas before, like, your phone's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is insane.
We were talking like a podcast ago or 2 podcasts ago about using tablets in the tub, and it's like, Samsung made it happen, so I'm not going to come at them for that. They made my dream come true. Everyone here heard me talk about it. It's live in the presentation today. The lady was using it in a tub or like an outdoor summer tub. That
I was jealous. I wanted that to be me.
So classy. But yeah, super exciting stuff. I think that's cool. Like reading a little book.
The one thing that I was going to say is just like I wrote a whole story leading up to the release of the Fold 3 and the Flip 3 about like what's better, clamshell or like book folding, and I came to the ultimate conclusion that like folding out like a book was better because there's a practical purpose. But looking at both those devices today, like beyond the leaks, just seeing what they truly look like, I want the Flip 3 again. Like, yeah, it just looks cooler to me for some reason, and like I can't really articulate why. Like, if I was going to go to a store and money was no object, that's the phone I would want. There's still a cool factor to being able to just like snap it shut, and the fact that it looks like a little Nintendo Game Boy Advance SP.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. The yellow one I kind of like too, right? There's like a yellow color. Yeah, that one is really
cool. That is it. This would be like the yellow color, I think. It's called
white. Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it's like a kind of like a beige, champagne-y. But like a beige-y color, yeah.
I'm into it. I'm into companies using like these more yellowish shades to like sort of replace that like gold. You know, it used to be always like black, silver, gold. And I'm like liking this yellowish shade. It seems like the Pixel 6 is kind of doing that too, right? There's no like gold.
Yeah, it's like
more yellowish now.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, exciting stuff.
So readers will obviously see your review on the site at some point in the next 2 weeks or so. I think we'll probably get something up before the official release on the 27th. But it's not just the Z Flip 3 that we have to talk about. There's also the Z Fold 3. Unfortunately, someone's probably not going to knock on your bedroom door and drop that off. We will have a review of it on the site. Dean's going to be handling that for us. But with that particular device, I think we've mentioned some stuff that's like across both phones, like the IP68, water resistance. Is there anything like substantially upgraded other than the like hole punch camera that covers the screen that like based on your hands on you really weren't a fan of?
The
under camera
specific.
Sure.
You go first, Dean, and I'll ask my question at the end. You might
cover. Yeah, the under display camera, it wasn't like horrible or anything. It just wasn't needed, could be pushed back to another phone. I took a picture of it. You can see where you can really see where it is on a white background, despite it being like under the
display. It looks awful.
Is that what it looks like in real life? In that picture, I thought that was like a demo where they were like, this is where the camera is. It's under these red dots. But it actually looks like that?
Yeah, it actually looks like that. If your screen is white, you can see it. If it's black, you can sort of see it. And when you're watching a video, it almost goes away. But if you know where to look, it's there. But white backgrounds, I was just like, man, like, is this what it looks like?
It's rough, man.
That's brutal. It's not horrible. It's not horrible. I think that I just don't think it was needed yet. I don't think it's, but it's other than that, the phone also has it's also thinner. It's lighter. That one is actually lighter. The Flip 3 is not lighter than the Flip 5G, and I thought it was. But the Fold 3 is actually lighter. It's thinner. It's
thinner, too, right?
Yeah, it's noticeably thinner. The display, like, the Fold 2 had that, like, screen protector on it, and it was super obvious from the get-go. The
Flip, looks bad.
Like,
I have a Fold 2, I've used it quite a bit, and it does not, like, the screen protector, I'm Mr. Screen Protector, man, put those on all my phones. I was so tempted to take it off this device, it just makes it look bad.
Yeah, the Fold 3 screen protector is there, you can't take it off, I was told by Samsung you can't take it off, but it doesn't look as bad. It looks like they've definitely worked on it, because when I first looked at the phone, I was like, is there a screen protector on it? And I kind of do like, yeah, there is. It also has a 120 hertz screen on the front now as well.
Bennett had something he wanted to ask, but before we get to that, the taking it back to the camera, like what do they call it? The technology that they're using to cover the lens. Does it have like a specific name?
It's like
under display camera. Sorry. Yes,
something.
Yes.
It's weird though.
It's just UDC. It
sounds backwards.
Does it shoot photos that are as good as what the previous Fold was capable of, or does this cool new technology? Is there a compromise in there? Because based on your hands on and just like what I've seen other people say, it sounds like it's not quite up to par with the Fold 2. Which is extremely disappointing to me, because otherwise the phone seems like there's no compromises. It's just like a regular phone that folds, which is sick. Like, that's what I think foldable phones need.
So I took a selfie with both phones, and I couldn't use that selfie on my review or anything because...
That's how it always works.
I didn't get to send anything to me or anything, and
they don't let you take those photos from their events.
I also wasn't even allowed to do a selfie on my own phone. They were supposed to block out the camera, and they just missed that one. But I did a selfie with both phones.
They give you like tape to put over your
camera. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I still have it on the phones. But I took a selfie on both phones, and honestly, it wasn't a huge difference. Also, there was poor lighting. We were sitting on couches in front of a TV. Like, it wasn't the greatest situation to be taking a selfie in. But, like, it looked like less light got into this. Like, it looked like there was a little bit, like, it was a little bit darker, but it was not a huge difference. Obviously, I would have to do, like, a full review to really see it. And I only took that one selfie, but it wasn't that bad. Like, it could have been far worse. I expected it to be far worse as well.
Okay.
But don't get me wrong. I don't think it is a good selfie camera either way. Like, the selfie camera on the Fold 2 isn't the best anyways.
Fold 3?
No, on either.
Yeah, they're not great. Like, the Fold 2's camera was outdated when it came out.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, the reason why I don't think if you want to take a selfie on your Fold, just use the back cameras, because you can. There's the display there. You can just do it. The back cameras are better. So I don't even know why. Like, I don't see why you need it. To the point where, like, I don't even see why they, like, instead of an under-display camera, just have no camera. It's not necessary.
If you want to take a selfie,
use your front camera.
But you could, like, put it on the table like this and have the camera, like, here. You know?
Yeah, like, I guess, Bennett, if you think of it like that, sure. But what are people doing with phones that don't fold and they need to take a video or need to do a video? They hold it like this, and they could have did that with the front camera on the cover display as well.
What was your question, sure, Bennett?
No, Dean covered it. It was just like in the photo he had taken for the site of the under display camera technology, where those like red lines activated, or was that a demo? And the fact that they're actually visible was like, that's what I was wondering. I do not like that at all. Because
again, I only saw that on the white display when it was like a white background. But I mean, like, you see,
yeah, but like,
there are quite a bit of white backgrounds when you're on your phone.
Newsflash, like, exactly.
Yeah, like
all the settings.
Instagram.
Live in dark mode or burn out your eyes.
So two final questions before we hit the ad break. One, how much does the Z Fold 3 start at? We know it's more expensive than the Flip, but like, what's the starting Canadian price?
So it starts at $2,269. Nice.
Which is still too much.
For the 256 gigabyte version. Okay. And for the 512 gigabyte version, it's $2,409. This is way too much money, especially if you're looking for an upgrade for your Note and you're like, well, I want a phone that can use an S Pen, because it can use an S Pen, which is cool.
You're carrying around in your pocket, though.
Yeah, an S Pen you carry, because it supports an S Pen, but it doesn't carry an S Pen.
They made a new S Pen that folds, right? But there's no S Pen like slot to put it in.
No, I don't think the S Pen fold.
It's
just called the Fold Edition. It's just called, because it works.
I thought they were calling
it
folding. Yeah,
no, if it folded, I would have been all over that. I would have been writing individual posts about folding S Pens.
It works only on the Fold. That's why it's called the Fold Edition. It doesn't work on any other.
Well, Bennett's Googling. The other question that I have, and this was a big issue that I've had with, because I've used both the Flip 5G and the Fold 2, and I spent some time with the original Fold. You can see the crease where the Fold is. Like, that is present even when the phone is like unfurled. I didn't see it as like that big of a problem, and I really, really got used to it after using the phone for a couple weeks. But is that still present on both these devices, or has Samsung found a way to kind of minimize that crease?
No, it's still there. It's still there. Okay. It's still there. I used the Fold 2 as my primary device for over a month. So like, I don't notice it at all. Like, I don't think I even mentioned it in my hands-on, because I don't notice it. I only realized to like talk about it when I read your comparison between the and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. But I'm pretty sure it's still there. Like, from my pictures I'm looking at it, it looks like it's still there. But again, if you buy a foldable phone, you will get so used to it, and I don't think you'll notice it at all.
Okay, cool. Let's hit the ad break.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the next two things we're going to like pretty quickly talk about, just so we can get to pick the Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro, which were relatively recently revealed too on a surprise holiday Monday, which was pretty awful for us anyways. So there's the Galaxy Watch 4 and the Galaxy Watch 4 Classic. Dean, when I look at these watches, even after seeing them in the event today, which literally only happened a couple hours ago, they look the same as previous Galaxy watches. My understanding is that like all the cool stuff is on the software side of things with the partnership with Google. Is that accurate?
I mean, sensor wise, they've added more sensors. So that hardware wise, okay. Like they've done that. They've, I took notes and I have the notes and I don't have them right here. So like they added more sensors and stuff. ECG doesn't work in Canada still. Neither does another sensor. I think it's blood pressure monitoring.
But it could come, right? They just need Health Canada approval.
Exactly. Literally, the Samsung rep was like, we just need to flip a switch. It's on over the air update. It's there. It will keep even go on your old. It might even go on your other Galaxy watches that support it still.
They're probably in the approval process already. Like, that's the way it worked with the Apple Watch. Like, when it launched in the US, if you asked them, Apple's boilerplate response was like, we're working through the process of approval with Health Canada.
Yeah. So there was more sensors. They have an SPV02 sensors too. I don't know what that means. I just remember those acronyms, the acronym.
I think it's blood oxygen level.
Yeah, isn't it blood
oxygen? Yeah, and that works in Canada. And they have other sensors that also work in Canada as well. But a lot of it is software size. And they also got rid of the Galaxy Watch Active branding. There's no more active brands. It's just Galaxy Watch and Galaxy Watch Classic.
But on the Classic, on the software side, like there's new stuff now. There's a combination of like Tizen and Wear OS sort of joining forces, right?
So Tizen's basically dead. Okay. It's really just Wear OS with one UI on top of it.
Okay, I misunderstood that then.
Yeah, so Tizen's not really a thing. It's Wear OS with one UI. It's basically like an Android phone it's basically a Samsung phone now, with Android and one UI on top of it. It kind of reminded me of I've never used Wear OS one. It kind of reminded me of Apple Watch, like parts of it where you're going through your apps now. You can see like there's a whole bunch of apps displaying at once. I couldn't get a good picture of it because I was really focusing on the phones, to be honest. And when it didn't have a lot of like taking a picture of a watch is never easy, I find.
No, it's true.
If you do it by yourself,
especially if you're wearing it, I've been there many times.
Yeah, I've done that too. Fun. It looks like a Apple Watch interface where you go scroll through your different apps and they're all kind of there. You just try to pick one. But other than that one part, it's pretty Tizen looking. Like it looks like your old Galaxy Watch. It seems to work the same too. The Galaxy Watch Classic has the bezel, like the rotating bezel, and you can still use that.
Oh, cool.
The benefits of Google were supposed to be better battery life, more app support, better watch face, or more, they can work better with developers, so the developers can make more watch faces and can make more apps. If you download a app on your phone and it has a Galaxy Watch app as well, like if you download Spotify on your phone, it would automatically download on your watch as well.
So it's like the Apple Watch in that way.
Sure. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's how it works on the Apple Watch. Well, that's like a good place. That's a good question to ask Bennett. Like we were talking about this before the podcast. Like for me, I know like I'm an Apple user, but like the Apple Watch is so far ahead of anything that I've tried with Wear OS, and I've used several Wear OS watches over the years. this seems like Google and arguably even Samsung's best attempt at like truly, truly taking on Apple with the Apple Watch. But Bennett, you had like a bit of an interesting perspective on that. Like, you would rather see Google make its own watch, right?
Oh, yeah. I just was like, they opened the presentation with all the watch stuff and it was just like getting kind of boring. It's not even that I would rather see Google do its own watch. I think the more Wear OS watches, the better. It's just like, I feel like with Samsung finally switching to Wear OS, the accusation of Fitbit finally going through, like we are, the writing is on the wall that we're about to see a Google watch. I don't know, maybe not. I feel like I've said that many times, but like, it seems like it has to happen. Like, why would Samsung switch to Wear OS if Google wasn't about to push it really heavily? And
yeah, that's fair.
This is something that's been kind of going on behind. People are talking about this in relation to the Pixels. The Pixel 6 is like, in some press interview, it was The Verge or maybe Marquez, they told one of those people that they're going to be spending a lot on marketing. Or no, it was an investor call. Google told its investors that in the back half of the year, they're going to see bigger spend on like marketing than they ever have in the past. I think the general assumption was that that's the Pixel 6 and Pixel 6 Pro. Google, you know, finally in their flagship territory, blah, 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 blah. But perhaps also that means like a new watch is coming too. And they're going to be like marketing the crap out of it because they just haven't had a watch before. And now they have the software to support good watches.
It's possible that Google might just treat Samsung's devices as like good enough for replacement of a Pixel watch. But I guess I think I also see from your point where it is possible they might launch a Pixel watch. If they don't launch in this year, though, I don't think we'll ever see it.
I just want to see
if it's not this year, it'll be the next or the year after that, I think. With Google doing its own chips, I think it's just a matter of time before they're basically copying Apple on the other side across product platforms. They have to, right? If they're the anti-Apple, they have to compete in all the categories that Apple competes in. And they already
I want to see a viable Apple watch.
Like, why are Chromebooks come? Why are Chromebooks here if that's not the case, you know?
So the last thing that we have from the show are the Galaxy Buds 2. I would say that they were probably the least interesting announcement. Based on like what I read in your post, Dean, they just sound like the Galaxy Buds Plus slightly rebranded, at least at the outside. You kind of got to listen to them first and see what they sound like. But based on their specs, that's the vibe that I was getting from them.
Yeah, it seemed like it. And they're even getting rid of the Galaxy Buds Plus. This is the 2, right? Yeah. They're getting rid of the Galaxy Buds Plus now. It's being discontinued. They're replacing it completely with the Buds 2. They were talking about it a lot. And honestly, I have no frame of reference because I've only ever used the Galaxy Buds Live that are currently in my ears.
I love them. But I have them in my ears too. Oh, I want the Galaxy Buds good. Live too.
Yeah, 100%.
Everybody makes fun of me when I talk about them on Twitter, like how much
they
I like
are the
them.
Best.
They're so comfortable, man.
So I forget. I've fallen asleep with them in my ear.
Oh, I have all the time.
Yeah. But yeah, so the Buds, it seems like it just seems like the second version of them. I don't know if there's huge differences.
They were hyping up call quality, like the microphones on them during the presentation. Yeah, so that's something I'm excited to see.
There's 3 mics now, and they've added some sort of software to make like
if there's crystal 3 mics. Is there a noise canceling?
There's active noise cancellation, and there's ambient sound with 3 different levels of ambient sound. Oh, I think one of the other Buds had 5 levels of ambient sound. I just don't know which one it was. And one of the other Buds also
so
had 3.
Many now.
Yeah. One of the Buds also had 3 levels of active noise cancellation. And from my understanding, this one only has 1. But again, it's like, it's $189. So it's supposed to be framed as their more affordable one, I think. In comparison to like the Buds Live that started off at like $259, I think.
When they they're sometimes
this is
really
$10.
Cheap.
This is $10. The Buds 2, the Buds Pro 2, what are these? Galaxy Buds 2 are $10 more than the Beats Studio Buds. So it's like a pretty
interesting
middle of the range price point, a very competitive price point, I would say.
Okay.
They also talked about long battery life, but I think it was only like 7.5 hours per bud, which is a little above the average, I think, in my experience.
Yeah,
but not like
I think the average is 6.
Groundbreaking, like these guys.
Yeah.
Which are the Master Dynamics MW8s, but these are like stupid expensive.
Yeah, we can't see what you're pointing at, buddy.
Yeah, I
forgot. Like, I'm super pixelated.
God, I can't even tell when you're talking or when you open your eyes. You literally look like a video game. Like, I just see your mustache as like 2 pixels, and like you have a red.
You look like Mario mixed with Ness. Yeah.
That's actually funny. Where's my green hat? God, I won't do it. But I have this green hat that I used to wear, and I literally found it in my grandpa's basement. And the first day I took it out, I was like wearing it. I had the mustache at that point as well. And my cousin like came around the corner, and she was like, looking like Luigi today, huh? And I was just like, I guess so.
Well, you're wearing a red hat right now, so we see Mario.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm pixelated mess. If you, I hope this pulls through at the end, because I set my lights, and I'd like it to not be terrible. Anyway.
So let's switch gears a little bit, talk about the Pixel and the Pixel 6 Pro. We knew this was coming, but we didn't necessarily know this announcement was going to specifically arrive on the holiday Monday, I guess last week. Thankfully, Karan was working, and he killed it. He did a really good job with the coverage. I edited his story, but beyond that, I don't know a heck of a lot about the upcoming Pixel phones. Like, so for once, I really don't have to just play like dumb host guy. I truly don't know a heck of a lot about them. Bennett, do you want to like set the stage here and tell us what is new in these devices?
Yeah, so yesterday I went on a crash course of learning all that I could about the Pixel devices. Basically, I think I'll start with, as far as we can tell, Google seems to be wanting to push these harder than any phone they've pushed before. That's what I was saying with the possible investor spending or the ad spending that investors were talking about. Most likely being related to the Pixel 6 and Pixel 6 Pro. Maybe there'll be a watch, but definitely these phones are coming. Google's showing them off. Polarizing design, I think. When we first saw them, people weren't super into it, although I think people are starting to come around to it now. The bump looks less pronounced than it originally was.
I've always loved the design.
Dean's always loved the design. But yeah, that bump houses on the Pixel 6 Pro, I believe, the two regular cameras. So the main camera is 50 megapixels. I believe the secondary ultra wide is also 50 megapixels.
So where are you getting your megapixels from?
I just have it written down, but I basically was like on the verge. I listened to Marquez do his like talk.
He just made them up.
Yeah, I've only been listening to the Verge stuff, and they're like, we don't know megapixel stuff yet. But I haven't listened to Marquez, so maybe he knew more.
He probably has had the phone for 8 months.
Yeah.
The review's already finished. He's just waiting for the embargo to lift.
Because the Verge, they only say they have the wide angle, the ultra wide, and the telephoto. But I'll stop talking. You go, keep going, buddy.
Fair enough. And then, yeah, I mean, the other note that I got is that the telephoto is only on the 6 Pro and it's 48 megapixels. And this being a huge jump in processing power because Google's using their own chip this time, which they're calling the Tensor chip. Hence, ideally giving them power to push these more camera improvements, which you may have noticed over the last few years, they haven't really changed their camera hardware very much. You know, it's been 12 megapixels for like 3 years now, I think.
That's the big 16. Draw this time, right, is the fact that Google's making its own chip. Like, that's what's exciting. Am I correct in that?
I think they're trying to make everything exciting. That's part of it, but you go deep.
I was just going to say the same thing. I was just going to say the same thing. It all seems exciting to me, just because, especially because of this seems like a huge jump in comparison to last year, where Google only launched 2 mid-range phones, really, because the Pixel 5 only had a mid-range processor as well. So this seems like they're trying to make everything a lot bigger and more like enticing. Sorry, that's the word I wanted.
Everything's supposed to be more enticing. The chip, you know, faster, better pictures, better video. Specifically, they're really hyping the video this year, which makes sense, because I think it was either the iPhone or iPhone 11 or iPhone 12, or Apple was like, we're hyping video really heavily. OnePlus has been hyping video lately. I don't know about Samsung. I'm assuming they are as well.
They
hyping video should be like the fastest AI on a phone, you know, faster than the Pixel 4 and all those like custom neural chips that they had before. That should be faster. And then with that new chip, it should allow for more than 3 years of software updates. So right now, Google can only do about 3 years of software updates because that's what like Qualcomm allows. But if Google owns the chip, in theory, they can push software further like Apple does with its products. So, you know, down the line, we'll be seeing larger groups of Google products getting updated at the same time, which is a big thing. Just sort of, these are kind of randomly, I didn't organize this half of the notes very well, but The regular Pixel 6 is going to be matte, and then the regular Pixel 6 Pro is going to be glossy, from what I've learned. Okay. they're supposed to be, we don't know the pricing, but it's supposed to be premium pricing. So I'm expecting $1,000 to $1,300, somewhere within that range. What do you guys think?
I'd say the Pro might be even up to, I don't know, $1,450.
That's what I think too.
Because you got to also include, like, they have the QHD Plus display and their new sensor is going to cost more. It's spending more money to make the sensor. And
well, they're actually, I think they're talking in the Marquez video that the sensor could be less because it's more of a Google thing and they don't involve Qualcomm as much. So they're kind of cutting out a middleman in terms of, like, buying products.
Interesting. Okay.
But that could go either way. I mean, because this is a newly developed sensor, I'm sure there's a lot of R&D costs to offset with this. I think the last thing that I kind of read or heard, I guess, was like they maybe released it in this really weird way, which, like Pat said, it was a holiday Monday in Canada. Google basically tweeted out and they're like, pay attention to this Twitter account in 30 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
Out of nowhere.
Here's all the new Pixel information. But the thoughts are because Apple, Samsung, everybody's going to be going so hard in the paint this fall on their own phones. Maybe if Google shows off their phone, shows off some of the things about it, some of the enticing reasons why you might want it, it might hold people back from buying, you know, the new Samsung as soon as it comes out at the end of August or the new iPhone when it comes out in September.
What I'm probably the most excited for about this phone is that apparently it will be the best phone for taking pictures of black people. Because that was a big thing at Google.
Oh, that was a Google initiative. Yeah. Totally.
And true. I'm very excited for that.
That'll be cool to see if it makes a big difference. But you're right. That was a huge thing.
When can we expect to see it, I guess, would be the last thing. Like, is this going to be a September, October release, you guys
late
think?
September, mid-October latest.
I'm putting my money down on early October. I think this will be after Apple, which would be why they preeminently announced it, but I think it's going to be early October.
My only guess, the only reason why I even said late September is just because last year the Google Pixel 5 came out in September. What's pretty interesting about this is that the display guy, Ross Young, who is like a CEO of display stuff.
Analyst.
Yeah. And he was talking about this display from last year. Like usually he's not talking about stuff a year in advance, but last year in like, I think it was like July or August, he was like, Google's coming out with a phone this year with a 6.7 inch QHD Plus display with 120 hertz refresh rate. That's
said. That's only the 6 Pro.
That's the 6 Pro.
Yeah. Is 90 hertz and 6.4 inches.
Yep. And full HD Plus. But he was talking about that for a year now. So I think Google's been working on this phone for a while, which also makes me think maybe they might launch it in late September. But again, to mid-October would be the latest. Like we will see it by October 15th is my guess.
They're just not going to want to go head-to-head with the iPhone, right? Like that wouldn't be smart marketing.
No, I think they do.
They did.
That's the whole point of releasing it early. Yeah. That's the whole point of why they showed it off already, is so that when the iPhone comes out, they're competing.
When did they release it last year?
September 28th.
Okay. So it did then. Interesting. That seems stupid to me. Don't do that. Take your own spotlight. Like, take a note from the video game industry and, like, don't directly compete. Just drop stuff, like, at different times. I don't know. I do understand.
I think all companies directly compete, though. I think all phone companies do it, right?
Yeah, that's
right. No, I mean, not all. Samsung picks August for the Note series, too. But, yeah, I mean, even Samsung's predicted to release another phone in October.
What phone?
Now, Google, the S21 FE.
Oh, the fan edition one. Yeah, no one cares about that phone, despite it being really good.
In theory, so rumor has it, the S21 FE was supposed to be this August release.
Yep.
And then the Flip and the Fold were supposed to be an October release to compete
with iPhone. Chipset delays.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what they do. And I think that for me, I'll be very excited for the Pixel 6 Pro. I'm excited for Material U on a flagship phone. It's supposed to have slightly curved edges, which I love on phones.
Display,
But what I want to ask, though, is that it's supposed to only have a 4x optical zoom.
Yep.
And I guess just that beats just the Pro. And I guess that beats Apple, right? But it doesn't really compete with any of the other Android.
What Samsung with the S21 Ultra? I think up to 10 times.
Optimal. Yeah, it had 10 times zoom. Huawei pushes 10 times zoom. Is it?
I confirm. I do think that the like zoom race is pretty dumb once you leave optical. Like once you go to hybrid and once you go to like entirely digital, it just looks bad. Like they're not good pictures. Maybe they are for some people, but I always like look at them and I'm like, this looks like trash. I wouldn't post this anywhere. But like 10 times on the Ultra, the S21 Ultra, that was like the killer feature of that phone. That was quality that I had never seen before. But it was kind of like in a league of its own, right? Like there wasn't other manufacturers, I guess maybe with the exception being Huawei, that had ever really done that before.
I think Huawei hadn't done it before. They've always, I think it's always hybrid. And then they do, I don't know. It's been a long time. I haven't used a Huawei phone since like a while.
Apple's not kicking it up a notch either. Like based on rumors, like it's all going to be the same deal.
To be fair, though, is the zoom really a selling feature? I did this like camera comparison the other day of like phones to like higher end cameras, and the iPhone came out the best just because of like color reproduction and sharpness, to be honest. Just pure, simple, natural reproduction. Having that zoom, sure, would be helpful, but the photos were just better.
I guess a lot would disagree, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think for you, maybe like your personal taste in photos, and probably myself as well. But I think a lot of people care about zoom. Like,
You got to remember, like Marquez's videos, right? Whenever he compares his cameras, a lot of people do. The iPhone's usually out in the second round.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so
that's true.
Because people are like, the photos are too dark. There's too much contrast. People like images that are bright, right? And they're wrong, but that's what they like. You know what I mean? Like, a good photo isn't something that's like totally washed out with no contrast. But people, it's all like based to personal taste. Like, I can tell someone all day that like that photo looks like trash, and you should be liking this other darker, more contrasty, moody image, but it all comes down to like what you personally like in images, and people tend to go towards anything that's brighter.
Fair enough.
Cool. I think that's a good place to wrap up the Pixel conversation.
As we said, when we were leading into this, I'm going to delay us just squeeze
it. Yeah, I was waiting for it. You always do it, and you raise your hand too at the same time.
Just wait, hold.
It's like you're pointing at the clock. It's like your point. You know the time's up.
But basically, this is something I just heard in the Marquez video, but they were calling it a camera block, not a camera bump. And I was like,
interesting.
I think that's very suiting. I think we should adopt that. I think the Pixel 6 has a camera block, not a camera bump.
I did like the bump. I don't want to call it a block. But I did like the bump. I think it's neat that it was like almost like a visor, gave the phone a unique look.
So that sort of Daft Punk helmet look, eh?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's the Master Chief.
Then it's like you're not gonna call it the block. You're just gonna go back to the bump right in my face.
It is. Spit it
on my face right here. Yeah.
I'm out of here. I wish I could like leave this podcast and come back.
I'm excited to review the Pixel 6 Pro just because of that champagne colored one. It just looks, that yellow one you were just talking about, looks so nice. And it, like, there might be also be a foldable this year, so who knows? Google might be doing things.
Yeah, they've got this chip now. They can put it in anything, you know? Let's just, like, skip the next 5 years of development. Just put the chip in Chromebooks, put it in watches, put it in everything. Put it in your Apple Home, Minis, everything.
Put it in Apple. Apple won't like that.
Yeah, put it in a MacBook. No,
I'm pulling Apple. Like, basically their mobile chip is like, this is like breaking it down to like the stupidest level, but like basically their architecture of their mobile chip is like in everything that they make now for the most part. With, I think,
it will be Apple interesting though, exception. That Google be doing this, because I mean, Samsung's been making its own chip for hundreds of years now, but it's just not allowed in North America. So it's weird interesting that Google's chip will have that extra competition, because literally it's only ever been Qualcomm, but it's been mostly Qualcomm and a Bionic for the past like 5-10 years.
It's not necessarily that they're not allowed to they aren't allowed to release it here, but it has to do with like Qualcomm, their contract with Qualcomm, where like there's like a North American exclusive thing. I don't think anyone's actually ever looked into that. It would be interesting.
I guess yeah, Huawei so, had its own chip too, but anyways,
yeah, very briefly.
Yeah, forget about that. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have reviews of all these Samsung devices up on the site over the next couple of weeks. Dean is handling the bulk of them. I know Bennett's going to be doing some of them too. And then, yeah, Pixel stuff will be happening during lovely Techtober amid the iPhone stuff. It's going to be a couple busy, busy months for us, but it's also the funnest time of year, which is cool. But let's get to the games that we've been playing. So I'll start it off. I've been playing a game called Kingdom Two Crowns for the Switch. I think it's on pretty much every platform. It's hard to describe. It's a side-scrolling, like, kingdom-building game, but that is also a tower defense game. You're like a king on a horse, and you upgrade your buildings, and you build buildings, and you collect coins from your subjects, and you have to build walls, and you protect them from these enemies that come at night. Never heard of it before. Saw that it was, like, on sale in the eShop one night when I was on vacation, and I just bought it, and I've been hooked on it ever since. It's if you're into like tower defense or kingdom building games, like, or not even kingdom building, like simulation games, like SimCity or whatever, like you'll find something to like here. I will say that if you get it for the Switch, it runs like trash and lags all the time, despite being a game that just features like pixel art graphics, which I find shocking. Optimize your games, optimize them, please. I don't want to lag.
You know, we were talking about that snowboarding game I was playing on mobile a few weeks ago. And we're talking about, like, I was like, I think this looks better than like some Switch games. So My Time in Portia came out on iOS recently, which is, I believe, a Switch PC game. Yep. And it 100% looks way better on iOS than Switch. Yeah. Like, there's like grass texture that you can see on iOS and like more models of things in the environment. Like, it is quite a difference. It's surprising.
The Switch is old. It's old, man. It's like, it was old when it came out, and now it's like 5 years old. Like, it's really showing its age across the board. I know that you can still make really good looking experiences on it, and I've probably said this on the podcast before, but Mario Golf, like, that's, I know it's not made by Nintendo, it's made by Camelot, but it's a first party game, and it does not look good. And it's a golf game, like, there's not a ton of detail in it.
Golf,
and it looks bad. Yeah,
green the Switch, courses, need, little white balls, figure it
we
out.
We need a new Switch.
Jesus. Yeah, after all that trash talk on the Switch, my game is also for the Switch. But I've talked about it previously on the podcast. It's called Loop Hero, kind of a roguelike game where you sort of control the environment and equip your hero, but then he or she performs all the actions on their own with the equipment and the world that you built for them. That game is finally coming to Switch. It used to be PC only. I knew it was like meant for mobile, meant for Switch. It's finally coming. I don't even know when, because like John just sent me that link literally right before we came to this podcast, and I haven't even read it yet. But Loop Hero, come to Switch, watch for it. It's one of my games of the year. It's super, super good.
And would I like it? Is it a game that Patrick would like? Because I need a new Switch game to play when I'm on vacation next week.
I think so. I don't know if it's going to be out by that time. I mean, I'll
Googling it right now, live on the podcast. It's releasing this winter, so I will not be playing that this next week.
Just stay on vacation.
just until the winter time, I'll just disappear.
Although you could play it on your Mac while you're on vacation.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, fair enough. I will. I will have my Mac.
But yeah, it's cool. Anyway, what about you, Dean? What are you playing?
So I have two things. One is that I'm an idiot, and this is USB-C and USB-C, not USB-C, USB-A. So my bad for lying to you earlier.
Someone was going to call you on that and like tell you that you're an awful person, and you should quit your job because you said the wrong
USB. It's possible.
I'm not even joking. Like, I'm half joking. That's the type of thing some like neckbeard ass smartphone fan would take issue with.
But I have USB. I have a proposition for you two for a game. And okay, so I need you guys to get this mindset. This game's only in beta. But imagine Halo.
It's Temtem.
Halo.
Okay, yeah. You got my attention.
With portals. So you teleport around, you make a portal, and you go through the portals, and you're in like you just basically teleport around the stage, but like you make portals between two different walls. The game plays just like Halo. It has some of the similar guns. There's like a BR, an AR, a railgun. Its game modes are even called Deathmatch, SWAT, Oddball, King of the Hill.
Wow. The announcer really is for it.
The announcer is almost the same, maybe what a little sexier called? In voice. And this
That's
game
my dream
is called
job, is to be a sexier Splitgate version of the Halo announcement. Splitgate?
It's called Splitgate. It's in Splitgate. Beta right now. It's free to play. Download it. It's fun.
On consoles? Consoles?
On I'm playing on PlayStation. Okay. It's super fun. I was playing it the other day and I'm like, man, killing people just like it's Halo, except for you can make quick escapes because you have a portal set up. You just portal somewhere else.
I might give it a try. Cool, I have a friend been playing it, and I've found it really, really hard to get back into Apex, which was my like go-to first-person shooter. First of all, they took away the triple take last season. This season, they took away my Spitfire. It just seems like Respawn doesn't
and
like
the alternator.
And they want me to be they took away. Man, like you have no idea how devastating it was that they took away the Spitfire. Like
it was my best gun.
I was doing so good in that game last season, particularly in arenas. Like I'm old. I had a 1.6 KD, and I was getting like
this enough. He's old.
I am old. I was doing incredibly well, and then they took that away from me. They nerfed it first, and then they took it away from me. But like I'm gonna stop ranting about it. But I need a new shooter to play. Long story short, and I don't know if it's gonna be Apex anymore. I got to move on to something else.
Apex isn't bad. It's not bad. The new LMGs.
I heard they got rid of the automatic attachment for the Prowler.
Yes.
They keep
which broke
everything
my
I love.
Heart. Yeah, but they added a new LMG. It's not bad. I've been loving Apex, but and I've been playing it with my friends who don't have enough space on their consoles for Splitgate. But my friends who do, we've been like racking up these kills in Splitgate, teleporting places, just. It needs a sword. It needs grenades. The only thing you can throw grenades at right now are other portals. But you can even shoot like a cannon through someone's portal and hit someone and kill them.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
It's insane. Definitely try it out. It's free. Why not?
Do you work part-time
it looks
for the
like...
company that makes it?
Oh, shit. You guys caught me. But anyways, it looks like crap. It does not look good at all. But neither did Halo 2. And yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
I mean, cool Splitgate. For the time that it came out, and I think Halo 2 looked really great.
Yeah, I mean, you compare it to what it looked like.
I'm wondering if that'll be visible on camera. I just poured water all over myself.
Oh, I saw it.
My water bottle was not attached properly. I'm now soaking wet. So that is a good time to end the podcast. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobileserve.com. Bennett, where can people find you?
You can find me anywhere at the Brad Fad. I am trying to tweet as much as I can. You know, really just stretching out those thumbs and getting the tweets out there. So follow me on Twitter.
And Dean, where can people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and that's it. At the Daily Dean. Daily spelled D-A-L-E-Y. Dean spelled the word, like the word Dean. If you don't know how to spell it, use the dictionary. And I'm trying to get followers as well on Twitter because I'm trying to beat Bennett and he's beating me by quite a bit. So,
not really. I think I'm ahead of you by like 50, maybe less.
All right.
So much. Anyways.
My floor is so wet.
Yeah, this will be the podcast forever known as the one where Patrick beat himself and we had to end it.
That's what it looks like. It really does look like it. But I can confirm that I didn't because I did go to the bathroom before the podcast just so I wouldn't have to do that again.
Definitely. I can confirm he did go to the bathroom before. I didn't see the water spill. I just heard about the water on the floor, so I'll leave that up in the air.
So, and as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @mobilesyrup.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.